I'm here with David and Christina Kosiba. They are the owners of Utara Brewing Company, the newest KRFY underwriters. Hi, David.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine. If you can turn
Great.
up your volume just a little bit or get closer to the mic. And hi, Christina.
Hi, how's it going?
You are a couple and you are the owners of Utara Brewing Company. First of all, thanks for taking the time today to talk with me and talk about you, your craft beer business, Utara. I love that word. I like saying it. And why you support 88.5 KRFY, our community radio station here in North Idaho, as an underwriter. So I'll just start asking you questions. Well, let's start with you, Dave. I wanted to know a little bit about you because you're kind of new to the business world here in Sandpoint. You have a title as brewer and owner. Tell us a bit about yourself, your background as a brewer, and the decision to open Utara a few years back.
Yeah, sure. Thanks so much for having us and taking an interest in our efforts here in the community. I've been involved in the brewing industry for the better part of the last 2 decades, either starting out just like everybody else with a passion for brewing beer in their garage, morphing into supporting local nonprofit organizations in support of the brewing industry, like Idaho Brewers United and the Inland Northwest Craft Brewers Association. I got my big break in 2009, basically befriending Fred Colby out at Laughing Dog, and he offered me a head brewer position out there. And the thing that always intrigued me about this industry was the sense of community. I maintain great relationships with many people involved in our local brewing community. I've known many of them for 15 plus years. We're so lucky to have 4 craft breweries here in the area, and just be part of this great brewing community where we all support typically underfunded mom and pop type businesses, instead of the large macro type breweries out there in the world.
Well, I think we're pretty lucky to have the craft brewing places that we have here. And Utara is such a cool place. I mean, it's in a cool location. We'll get to that in a little bit. Christina, why don't you tell us a little bit? You're the other half of this team. And as owners of Utara, about you, your background, and involvement with Utara. And you have a strong background in business, from what I was reading.
Yes, I thank you for having us. I graduated from the Leeds School of Business at University of Colorado in Boulder in 2002. And actually, right a couple months after graduation, I started an internship in New Delhi, India, where I was working at a hotel in their guest relations department, the Taj Mahal Hotel, 5-star hotel right there in Delhi, where I worked for 5 months for my internship and then took a month of traveling. So I got to see some of the sights of India, not all of them. I'd love to go back one day. But while I was there, just really fell in love with the cuisine, the culture, the people. So that kind of really fueled my love for Indian food. Came back, ended up in Sandpoint, Idaho, where Dave and I had met a year prior in Missoula at the Missoulian. And when Dave was working at Laughing Dog, he kind of had this dream to open a brewery. And I had a dream to open an Indian to-go stall, essentially, because this town did not offer Indian food. And I thought it was something we could do different. I was working at McDuff's at the time, so definitely wanted to stay out of their lane and do something different for this town. I wanted to always offer fast casual or affordable Indian food because I know how the wages are can be in this town, and wanted, like I said, offer something different to folks looking for something different. So, like I said, this was back in 2009 when we were kind of had our own separate business plans. And finally, Dave said, why don't we merge the Indian food and the beer, which seemed crazy at the time. I mean, Indian food and beer, who would have thunk? But then we were talking to our friends and they were like, you know, in England, all the tap houses, ale houses, a lot of them serve curry. So it's not uncommon. And that was kind of the light bulb where we thought, oh yeah, this concept has been proven. It's just not in the United States. So we decided to merge our two business plans, and that's how Uttara was born. Uttara is a derivative of Sanskrit, meaning north, or of the north, pertaining to the north. And we thought, we're in North Idaho, what could be more perfect of saying that, you know, we're Uttara, we're from the north of the north, and our website is uttaraidaho.com. So technically it translates to northidaho.com.
I love that. And when you're talking about curry, I just talked to someone who brought two curries home from Uttara the other day for dinner. And I know personally, those are great curries. So it's not just a matter of curry. It's really great Indian food.
Thank you.
It's, I don't know who has the handle on that food process so much. The idea came from what you just said to kind of merge your two business models together. But tell us a little bit more about the food and how that came about as far as what you're offering there.
Well, technically our model is an Anglo-Indian style. So we do a little bit of fusion, like we've got non-pizzas, a non-wrap that's got like cabbage and cilantro serrano chutney and protein choice and some fontina cheese. So we kind of stick with the very traditional Indian cuisine of offering curries with garlic, butter, naan, and rice. But then we kind of have a few things on our menu that are a little more fun and playful and not super traditional Indian. I tried to absorb as much as possible when I was in India about cuisine. And then when I was here, Dave and I took a couple cooking classes from a native born Indian lady. She lived in Seattle. So we kind of developed our menu, our core menu with her. And then just over the years that we've been open, we've had some really incredible kitchen managers who have brought their kind of flair in, and things that, you know, were super popular, we kept. And we're just, you know, having fun.
Well, it seems like it's a well thought out food concept there, especially when you had the help from the person in Seattle. It really does help. I know there's a really great Indian restaurant in Missoula called Masala, and that's where my son learned to cook Indian food. But now let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the other half, which is the brewing process. In your website, it says you have a seven barrel system. And when I think of a barrel of beer, how many kegs is in a barrel of beer? Is that what I'm looking at in the background on this Zoom call, Dave?
Yeah, well, actually those are our fermentation tanks, but we've got a seven barrel net system. A typical keg that weighs 162 pounds that we're all used to seeing is a half barrel. So we typically yield between 12 and 14 kegs per production batch. It's the size that I want to be. It provides a great deal of flexibility. It provides, it's large enough to keep up with production, and it's not venturing into that realm of super large scale production brewing that I got very acquainted with up at Laughing Dog. Nothing wrong with that model. I just wanted to do something a little bit smaller, a little bit more community oriented, provide a social environment for our community, and basically have more fun serving that pint of beer across the bar and getting to know our customers instead of shipping that beer to another state.
So when you say that you have seven, those things in the background where you're fermenting or brewing, how long does it stay in that before it goes into a barrel or a keg? So how long does it take to make beer?
We're typically looking at about a month out. So on any given Tuesday or Thursday when I'm brewing, today being the exception, a brew day for me is typically 6-7 hours long, coupled with some other duties. And then the fermentation process takes about 2 weeks, and then we enter into a transferring process where we transfer the beer to our brightening tanks, which is where we introduce carbonation and clarification. We don't filter our beers, so it's very important to at least give that beer 48 hours to rest, if not up to a week. And then I like to say about 23 days is the quickest we can turn a beer that involves dry hopping, such as an IPA or a pale ale. About 18 days is about the quickest we can turn a beer, such as a Pilsner or a Porter, where there isn't that last dry hop procedure.
So one of the things that I was hoping to maybe get a little inside information about, how do you get the different flavors? I mean, you say hoppy beer, is it just about the ingredients that you use? And is there some magic to it? Because they're all so different. I'm just learning about the differences.
There are so many new products out there on the market. It all just comes down to a brewer's personal preference, branding, the individual products that each company offers. We've chosen to largely feature Great Western malts, which is the malting procedure occurs in Vancouver, Washington, and they largely use mostly grain from Washington, Idaho, Montana. So it's about as local as it can get. There's another company based out of Spokane called Link Malting, and they've actually taken it a step further and they've gone to the local farmers, and it's so cool to be hanging out someplace in Spokane and literally say, like, that's the guy that grew our barley. The whole malting process is very complex, but essentially you're taking raw barley, excuse me, and you're malting it, which is the process of adding moisture to it and germinating the seed. And then you are essentially either roasting it or letting it dry straight off the bat. So you end up with this wide variety of a rainbow of flavors, anything from unroasted in a pale malt to completely burnt in a black barley that you would typically find in a porter or a stout. There's always new varietals coming out. There's always new hops coming out. I've chosen to stick with hops that are kind of new school, but not on the cutting edge and difficult to get. I want stability in our product. I'd like to see our product be consistent throughout. And some of the newer hops, although they're very fun, they're very limited, and they haven't planted the crops to the extent where it provides market stability.
Oh, this is all very interesting. I just let the KRFY listeners know that I'm here with David and Christina Kosiba. They are the brewers and owners of Utara Brewing Company, located here in Sandpoint, Idaho. And so to get to a little bit more of what you're doing over at Utara, it is a fusion of beer and wonderful curries and Indian food. Is there another way to say beer? Do you call it brews? Or what's another word for beer? It's so basic, but it's craft beer.
We are very much part of the craft brewing community. The craft brewing community is segmented, well, just the beer community is segmented into let's say nano breweries, which are 3 barrels and under, craft breweries, which we would fall into that category. And then there's regional breweries. Think of Boston Beer Company, Sam Adams, for example. And then there are the macro breweries like Anheuser-Busch, Miller. But we squarely fall into the craft brewing community, frequently talking to the other breweries, not only within our Sandpoint community, but within the greater Coeur d'Alene, Spokane community. We're constantly trading ideas, helping each other out.
Nice.
I cracked the nut on producing clean seltzers last spring, and I can't tell you the number of breweries that I've helped out in the Spokane area in trying to produce clean seltzers. It's quite the deviation from the craft beer industry. At first, I wasn't really on board with it, but the science behind it is really fascinating. It's a nice, clean product, and I don't think it's going away anytime soon.
When you say seltzers, is that fruit-based?
Typically, a seltzer is a fermented sugar that has either a fruit puree or a fruit essence added on the tail end to give it the flavor, but essentially, the brewer's job in making a hard seltzer is to try very hard to make something that tastes like nothing and then to flavor it back.
Oh, that's awesome. It sounds like there's a lot of hit and miss. Do you ever have complete fails? Probably not anymore, but in the very, very beginning, maybe.
Well, yeah, as a home brewer, I had complete fails. As a head brewer at a large production facility that was seeing just insane amounts of growth, we had a hard time keeping up with some of the challenges associated with that. But, you know, we were probably 6 months out from opening, and I was talking to a friend of mine, a guy from Port Townsend Brewing Company, and he's been in the industry since the early 90s, late 80s. And I was just talking to him, and I said, you know, I want to pilot all these things on a homebrew system at least like 3 or 4 times before I go to the production system. And he said, well, you've been doing this for a long time. Why don't you just go for it? And that was a little unnerving. Our very first batch was a very large batch of porter, and I had never had any intentions of carrying a porter. They're not necessarily the easiest to sell in the summertime, but it turned out so nice that we ended up just keeping it on as one of our core beers. Of course, there's always, I remember when we first opened, there were beers that needed to be tweaked a little bit in order to get them right where I wanted them. Mm-hmm. It took about a year to get them exactly where I wanted them, but I don't think we ever produced anything that was under a B+ as far as the product goes.
Right. Well, good job. I wonder if you're known for, I know that you're kind of known for your porter, just from people I know, but would you say there's one that is your signature style of beer?
Absolutely. It's our Maiden Rock IPA, 6.9%. It's 60 IBUs. It's just a nice traditional Northwest IPA with a little higher ABV, and kind of features some Citra and Mosaic hops in there for some juiciness and citrus. We do still tend to stick to the traditional hops like Cascade and Columbus, but by our best seller. A couple of years ago, we came out with a hazy IPA, the Middle Point, and of course, that's a very popular beer. And I'd say third to that is our Tangerine Pale Ale, as well as our just standard pale ale. Our standard pale ale, I've heard from so many very well-educated people in the industry that if you find a brewery that has a solid, balanced pale ale, you know you found a good brewery, and that's what
there you go. Well, I know that Utara has a good reputation in this town. So let's switch back over to how Utara is doing. What helped Utara get through and weather the last 2 years? I know that this summer you're a fairly new business, but this summer you had a lot of outdoor seating and you were always busy, which was genius. It was beautiful over there. What do you see that helps sustain you're growing. Obviously, you're all of a sudden a KRFY underwriter, so you're reaching out in that way. And what are some of your upcoming plans? How are you doing? And did you get through it all?
Well, we're going to continue to be scrappy and have the ability to turn on a dime. We've established a wonderful staff here. We're all treating each other like family and all getting along and having each other's backs. And that's extremely important. During the shutdown, we reduced our staff to 3 and furloughed some people. Some people went and found employment elsewhere. Other people were furloughed and back paid. A few of them were furloughed due to health concerns, but we kind of just battled through all that. Every day was a new challenge. It seemed like every other hour there was a new struggle to kind of overcome. But yeah, we had a very nice summer. Coming into this winter, we've made some new hires, and we've got, just like I said, a wonderful staff to lean on. We've got our seasonal Scotch ale that we just released 2 weeks ago. And
good to know.
In about 2 weeks, we've got an Imperial Stout that we're going to release. It's going to come in at about 12% ABV. Just like any other business in town, we've got to remain innovative, continue to reach out to the community, continue to have charitable events for people like KRFY, fundraisers for Kinnickso Land Trust. And this Friday, we will be hosting an event for our pig farmer friend Ray, who is trying to raise money to buy gifts for the homeless in Spokane. She spends all Christmas Day with her family in Spokane giving gifts out to the homeless. Practical gifts, you can drop them off in a box here. New, please, things like hats and gloves and tarps and blankets and snacks and candies and things, anything that you would think if you didn't have a roof over your head. She has the ability to make a lot of people's day on Christmas Day.
How cool is that? Well, it sounds like you've really integrated into the community, not just with a business, but with a community endeavor that supports so much. I was just thinking when you were talking, and Christina, I was wondering, how are you guys having fun?
It is a lot of work that we've had to put in, blood, sweat, and tears. But yeah, especially like Dave said, when everything's jiving, your staff is jiving, just hanging out with, I was talking to one of our local community members the other day for quite a while. We were just talking about the music industry, and it was just, it was so great to just chat with folks. And that's one of the best things about what we do, is whether it's about the beer, the food, what our community has to offer, just life in general. It's that, that's the fun. That's where the best part is. Or like Dave said, supporting locals who are just really trying to help bring some really fun things like Kinnexu Land Trust does with the Pine Street Woods, just incredible assets this community has, and just to support those. So yeah, those parts are really fun. There can be a lot of work too, but yeah, we have fun at times for sure. We do.
I was thinking also about the fact that you have joined the KRFY underwriting team. So you're now part of our community radio station. You always were as listeners, but now you're an important part. Any thoughts or ideas of why you decided to support this community radio station by becoming an underwriter at this time?
Personally, I've always supported community supported radio, whether it was in Missoula before moving here or having since been here and donated to KRFY personally. I think, again, you guys are such an incredible asset to our community. So anything we can do to kind of help support these gems that we should not take for granted in this community. We're so lucky, and we need to, you know, kind of put our money where our mouth is and really get behind the things that really bring us joy. And KRFY is definitely number one on my radio speed dial, and I find myself literally listening to you guys. You and NPR are my two biggest radio listens, but it's always a pleasure, whether it's Otto's Eclectic Music in the Morning or the Grateful Dead Hour, or I love the high school gentleman you have on, I think it's Thursday afternoons, listening to him. He's incredible. Like, this is the people, the talent you guys bring to our ears. We are so lucky and so, so blessed.
The new kid on CP at 3, he's a high school student. He's just a sophomore. His name is Will Clark, and he loves what he's doing. And we're so happy to have something like that, the voice of our students at the high school. Oh my gosh.
And I love that he highlights things that are high school related, as he should. And it's, I mean, I'm obviously years past high school, but I enjoy listening to his interviews, and his music choice are just, they're so mature. They're so great. So he's a pleasure for sure.
He's really fun. And so, okay, you guys, well, anything else you want to add? How about some contact info? Dave, you were talking about different events that you have in support of other nonprofits. Contact info, how can people find out more, and where are you located? We didn't even talk about the fact that the place you picked was the old, where a lot of people in the old days used to get their oil checked or changed. It's in, but yeah, give us the whole background of how people can get to you.
Okay, so we're at 214 Pine Street in downtown Sandpoint. This oil change facility was actually Sandpoint's first blacksmith shop. So the walls were built in 1908. We're trying to dig up some old photographs that the Historical Society but I digress. Yeah, you can find us online at utaraidaho.com, UTARAIDAHO.com. And if you're interested in helping Ray buy presents for the homeless on Christmas Day, you can go to makerslongacres.com. And there's a link on their site to her Amazon wish list. So all you have to do is buy the gifts and they get delivered to her house and they will make sure that they get down to Spokane.
What was that website again?
Makers Long Acres.
Okay. And there you go. What are your hours right now? And what are you looking at for the winter hours?
We're looking to expand into Sundays, but right now we're currently open Monday through Thursday, 3 p.m. until 8 p.m. Friday, 3 p.m. until 9 p.m. And then Saturday we open at noon and we're open until 9 p.m. and we're closed on Sundays currently.
Okay.
I will say, wanted to add to that, that we serve food the entire time we're open. People a lot of times, you know, wonder if we're just a tasting room and if our kitchen is open, the whole, our open hours of operation, and it is. So you're welcome to come in for lunch on Saturday and grab some food, or, you know, dinner on a Tuesday. We'll help you out. We'll treat you right.
All right. I'm actually really hungry, so I'm going to wait till 3 o'clock and be super hungry. Can I call in an order and just pick it up?
Absolutely. We do actually a lot of to-go, especially this time of year. You can eat in, carry out. We also actually have Delivery Eats as our delivery service provider. So you're welcome to download their app and find us on their app and put an order in that way, and they'll bring it right to you.
Well, I always like a walk in the afternoon. So what's the phone number where I can call in an order?
208-627-5070.
Okay, I want to make sure I have this right. 208-627-5070. And that's the phone number for Utara Brewing Company, where you can call in an order and pick it up, or go in there and have one of those new beers, the Maiden Rock IPA that they are well known for. I think that's what you said, Dave.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, guys, this has been fun, a super fun subject to talk about. And just welcome again to the KRFY family of underwriters. It's essential for what we do, and we love you. So thank you so much for joining in and becoming part of that. And I'm just glad you're here in our community.
Well, thank you. We're so glad and happy to be a part of this community. And thank you for all that you guys do for us.
All righty. Thanks, Christina and David.
Thank you.
Kosiba, owners and brewers at Utara Brewing. Thanks so much.
Thank you.